Oh, welcome to the Shopway Show. Yes, it is Friday evening and I'm here. I know it's a little bit late. I apologize again. I'm working, trying to get stuff done, guys, and I'm able to still show up here at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I appreciate you guys joining the show with me. And of course, you know, I'm going to ask you to do it. Like, comment, share. It does matter. Please let people know that we are out here. If you don't, how are they going to know? I don't know. You got to tell them. So please do that if you don't mind. The show today, the reason why I decided to do another show today on this topic is I keep hearing from so many people on how they're angry with capitalism and they're angry with the system. And I get it. There's lots of reasons to be angry with the system. But consistently, I've heard some people say this idea that profit is theft, that whenever you work and you don't get the full fruit of your labor, that is theft. It's a Marxist concept idea labor theory of value, right? Labor theory of value, that whatever you work and whatever's left over, you don't get, you're being robbed. And I'm seeing more and more people accept this as true. And I'm seeing more and more people accept people in the elites say it and go, yeah, this is totally true. This is totally right. And when libertarians hear it, our heads explode, right? We're like, what? This is insane. But we don't talk correctly, right? We talk in a way that almost says, you believe this? You're stupid. That doesn't work. We have to be able to have a real conversation, a logical conversation about this sometimes emotional issue that has come into a logical world. So I want to go over one. It's a quick video and it's from the Gravel Institute. And they're all about socialism and the left is right and blah, 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 which is fine. I have no problem with them believing what they want to believe. Happy to deal with that issue. I do want to, though, show you what they're talking about, what they're sharing, and then talk a little bit about it. And I think you'll enjoy it and also will help with us just talking about these issues that will pop up.
Right now, as you're listening to this, you are being robbed.
I'm being robbed. You're being robbed. As you're listening to this, you're being robbed. Michael, that's how he opens.
A chunk of everything your hard work creates is being stolen from you. And it's a system called capitalism that's robbing you.
It is capitalism that's robbing you. That's an important piece. There are a lot of people who actually believe this to be true. So don't get mad. Please listen. Let's have a conversation because this isn't going away. If you think you can yell it away, you're fooling yourself. This is not going away.
Every day when you check into work for your boss.
By the way, this guy, Richard Wolff, super popular. Like on all the shows, on all the left YouTube, super popular. All about how capitalism is evil. And people get behind him. He is the smart guy in this world. Well, he thinks he's a smart guy.
You are being taken advantage of and stolen from. You are being deprived of the full value of what you contribute.
Look at that.
Let me break it down.
Please break it down how I'm being robbed as I watch this. Garrett, you're being robbed. You didn't know that? We're all being robbed.
A capitalist isn't someone in a top hat burning library books to run a misery factory. Anyone who puts forward capital, money, to set workers in motion becomes thereby a capitalist.
Now, that part, again, the idea I want to bring up is with that many of the things he will say, as often are true, are based on reality. Many of the things he's going to say are actually true. The question is, how do you spin that to all of a sudden make everything capitalism evil? Well, he'll try that, but we'll get there.
That is to say, they're acting as a capitalist. Yep. And what's their goal? Will tell you it's innovation or competition.
No, they won't tell you that. The goal of me putting money into something is to get some money out. That's pretty much any investor in anything. In fact, in the old days, when you used to put your money in the bank, why'd you put your money in the bank? Not now, because the Fed has destroyed the banking industry. But before the Fed openly destroyed the banking industry, say in the 70s and 80s, you put in your money in the bank because you wanted interest. You put your money in the bank to get more money. Did that make a saver a capitalist?
But down the real world, it's pretty simple. Capitalists have one goal, and that goal is to turn a profit.
Yes, true.
Pursuing profits to accumulate money is just how capitalism works.
Accurate.
That's the nature of the beast.
Agreed.
It's the single impulse of capitalism.
Yes, true, true, and true. But where does it become evil, right? Because when I get profit, and I get profit, right? When I work, I get profit. I use my profit. This is what I do. I use my profit to help build my business. I use my profit to pay my bills. I use my profit to pay a lot of people. From the Sharp Way, you guys support the Sharp Way. You know what I do with that money? I give it to the people who work for Sharp Way. Yes, I have a, you guys know I have a team. They get that money. So yes, I try to make a profit so I can keep growing and doing things that matter. He's right that we make a profit. But his assumption is that what you do with the profit is by default evil and wrong. And even getting the profit is theft.
That doesn't make capitalists personally greedy, though some might be.
Some
We're not
are.
Even talking about good or evil here. Capitalists need to maximize profit to the exclusion of all other considerations.
It's that part is not true. That part is incorrect. He's saying capitalists need to maximize profit. That is absolutely not true. Many capitalists want to have a lot of profit. But you know who a capitalist is? A small business owner. You know what a capitalist is? A person who is just a contract worker. All of those are capitalists. Are they maximizing their profits? I'm going to tell most of you who may not get this, most aren't. Most are taking this lifestyle because they want this lifestyle. Do they want profit? 100%. Of course they want profit. Are they trying to maximize their profit? Usually not. One, the average person who's a small business owner doesn't even know how to be forward. I know because I trained them. So most of them don't even know how to maximize their profit. That's number one. And then when you talk about how to do it, they often don't do it because they have other things in their life that matter, whether that's family or friends or other things that matter in their life. And they often don't maximize profits. They get profit. Profit is a good thing. But he went right. And then all of a sudden he said, every capitalist is all about maximizing profit. That's not true. Some of the larger organizations, absolutely. Yes, some absolutely have been absolutely that. And usually larger corporations are much more apt to do that because they have shareholders and stockholders. They have that. But the average, most businesses are small businesses. Most capitalists are the average person. Most of them don't have shareholders. So this isn't even an issue.
They'll get eaten up by capitalists who are smarter or more ruthless than them. That's
ruthless.
The jungle law of the market. So capitalists need profit to survive. But where does this profit come from?
Tell me where
it
does.
That's where you come in.
Oh, literally, I come in.
Profit comes from you.
Comes from me. Like that. Comes from me. We're in business now.
Here's a little thought experiment. Meet Harold. Harold has a chain of buildings full of kitchens, full of ingredients.
So Harold has a chain of buildings full of ingredients. How did Harold get that? I guess Harold's magical? Whatevs. Harold has these buildings full of ingredients. I guess he was born wealthy. I don't know. We don't discuss how he's got it, but he has these things. Okay.
But Harold doesn't know how to make a burger himself.
Harold can't make a burger. Wow, Harold's pretty stupid. But fine. I mean, the average, like my kid, who's 11, can make a burger. But fine. Harold has somehow magically gathered a bunch of buildings with ingredients, but can't figure out how to make a burger. Okay, already I'm not sure, but we'll play your game, Mr. Wolf. Let's play it.
How does Harold get someone to make enough burgers that he can sell them and turn a profit? It's not a trick question. He
it
pays
isn't.
You because you know how to make really good.
Yeah, but he pays you. Not because you know how to make a really big burger, and there is the fault right there. He doesn't pay you because you know how to make a really good burger. He pays you because he has a series of places and he can't do it himself. Do you know how many people own restaurants and they're literally in the back cooking the burgers themselves? Lots of people in restaurants are cooking the burgers themselves, but they hire someone because they can't do it all. They can't also bust the tables. They can't also take the orders. They can't also clean up the joint. They can't do it all. So they hire others to do it, not because they're the only one who knows how to run a mop. This entire idea is insanely dumb. It's not like you're magical because you can cook a burger. It doesn't make you magical.
good burgers. The money he uses to pay you is what we call capital. That's money
correct.
Used to set production into motion.
You know what he just said? Capital. That is money used to set production into motion. That piece, he seems to forget it everything else. Because the guy who knows how to cook the magical burgers, and I'm glad he knows how to cook magical burgers, awesome, that guy can't cook the magical burgers if Harold doesn't put the money in place to set the production forward. Without the production moving forward, doesn't matter how magical the guy's burgers are.
Let's say Harold spent $1,000 buying all the ingredients in the restaurant.
Good
and
on
after you work for a few weeks there, turning the ingredients into burgers, they brought in $3,000.
Look at that. You are a good burger maker. You brought in $3,000 in burgers after he spent $1,000. Well done. You are a good burger maker.
Not bad. You added $2,000 worth of value to the ingredients.
I love
but
that.
But wait.
No. Here's the problem. He says you added $2,000 worth of value. You did? Who marketed to get the people in to buy the burgers? Who was that? Who took the orders? Who was that? Yeah, Mr. Burger Maker didn't add $2,000 worth of value because people have to go buy that burger. So who made the sign to let people know there's burgers here? Who did the Facebook marketing to let people know to come on Thursdays before 5 to get your cool burger? Who took the order out front? Who put the sign out front? Who did all those things? It isn't like Mr. Burger Flipper, which is not a bad job, by the way. I mean, they literally have done shows on people making good burgers, but he's not the only guy. All these people did that. And then who pays the rent on the building or who bought the building, whether it's a rental or a bought? This concept is insanely silly and isn't realistic. Because you make the burger doesn't mean anybody buys the burger. Doesn't mean anybody eats the burger. So what kind of value did you actually bring? How do you measure that? This is from like in a factory, maybe, but not even in a factory.
You don't get all the money because Harold now has $3,000 on his
hands.
That's
true.
$1,000 of that is just making up for the cost of the ingredients.
That's
true. And if you were paid for the full value of your labor, you'd be making $2,000. But then...
But why is... What do you mean the full value of your labor? So is he trying to say the full value of your labor is $3,000 because the burgers you made got $3,000? Okay, for the sake of argument, let's buy that terrible argument. All right, you don't make burgers. You know what you do? You clean the place down at the end. End of the day, you come in, you clean the place. How much money did you make? None. You didn't make any money. Nobody got money because you cleaned the place. Not one person. Well, what's the value of your labor? None. I guess your labor's valued nothing because you just cleaned the place up. So I guess that means nothing. What about the person who's the bookkeeper? The bookkeeper who makes sure the money comes in and comes out. Well, they didn't. Nobody bought anything from her. So now he or she didn't make any money either. So I guess they don't get paid either. Huh. Okay. So the only person who has any value is that. No one else does. So only the burger maker is the one who should get the dollars and the other people shouldn't. Do we not see how terrible this idea is? That it makes no sense at all in any business model whatsoever? What about the marketer? What if you put a guy out in front and flipping the signs, come get burgers here? What about that guy? He didn't sell any burgers. It's insane how bad this is. But people are buying it like there's, I'm telling you, I know some of you are laughing and think I'm crazy. This is what's being taught, and particularly the youth are buying this story like there's no tomorrow.
Harold would only be breaking even on the burgers, and he needs to make a profit in order to survive. So Harold does not pay you for the full value of your labor.
No. That's a lie. Because how do you know what the full value of your labor is? How do you know what that is? I'll go one step further, right? Without Harold coming up with a place for you to make your burgers, your labor is useless then, isn't it? Because you have no place to make burgers.
Maybe he pays you just $1,000 of the value you produce. Maybe.
That would be amazing, $1,000. But again, he keeps saying the value you produced. That in itself is a lie.
He pays you $1,500. No matter what, you've been stolen from.
And that's what he says. No matter what, you've been stolen from. This concept is a concept that people are believing. So how do we deal with that? With the things that I just told you. When they come up with this, and you will hear this without question, I'm doing all this work and I'm producing, he's making money off my back. Okay, great. How are you going to decide how much money you're owed? Seriously, how much are you going to decide how much money you're owed? Well, he made $1 million. So it's just me and him. So that means, you know, I should get all the money. I'm making it all. He didn't even come into the building. I should get all the money. That's how they'll think. Great. Well, then why did you make all the things? Who told you to? Well, he did. Well, what did you use? Well, his stuff. Well, how got the customers? Well, he did. Huh? So what's your value again? What about when you left and the people came in that decided to, you know, give the computers and service the computers? They didn't make any value. Do they get no pay? But I'll go even further than this. If that's how he believes the value of your work, what happens when you come in to a job and they have to train you? Let's say I have to train you for, say, a month for any given job. Well, often it's longer than that, but for sake of argument, it's a month. So I've got to train you how to make the burgers, right? I got to train you for a month. And during that month that I'm training you, you're not building any value. So you don't get paid. Is that how it works? You don't get paid because you didn't build any value. I'm training you. So I guess you don't get paid for that month. Is that how it works? Of course it doesn't. But according to his rules, yeah, it should. You didn't make any value. How about the opposite? How about you go there? And your job is not, you know, making burgers, but your job is, say, paving you're a guy who works and you pave someone's front yard, right? You pave in the yards or the driveways. Your job is paving driveways. So now the customer pays you whatever, $3,000 or whatever it costs to pave your driveway. Well, your argument will be, look, I brought in $3,000. So that's what I should get. That's my labor. Okay, according to Mr. Wolf, that makes sense. But wait a minute. Wolf does say you can take off whatever it costs, right? He does say that. So if I, as the owner, you know, had to pay $1,000 in equipment and such for you to do it, you should get the rest $2,000. I get just break even. I get nothing. That's all I get. Otherwise, I'm robbing you. What happens if you screw it up? What happens if you make a mistake? And now I got to tear the whole thing back up and redo it. Well, when I tear it up and redo it, that takes another $2,000 out. So now there's no profit. So you didn't make any value. Should you not get paid for 2 days of work? Should you not get paid for 2 days of work? Because with his logic, you brought no value. Because you screwed up so badly, we had to drop $2,000 to repair that. So that the customer gave me three. I spent all three. There's nothing left. So you don't get paid? I guess you don't get paid. This sounds, what he's talking about, it sounds like capitalism to me, hardcore capitalism. This sounds like eat what you kill is what he's talking about. But he isn't. What he means is you should get all the money. And when you screw up, you still get all the money. And when you don't bring value, you still get all the money. His answer is no matter what, you get all the money. I like that deal if I'm the guy getting all the money. But if any of you have been small business owners, you know something. And that is, you know that there were times in your business when you were growing it where you actually made less than your employees. I remember that, particularly in 2009, 2010, when my business was collapsing and I had two employees. They were getting paid. I wasn't. But that's me, the evil capitalist. That's me, the evil capitalist. Yeah, no. No, that's not the right answer. It's not what I was. And most people, if you're a small business, you know that. You've gone to a point where you've paid your employees, you made your payroll, and there was hardly anything left for you. Yeah, this guy doesn't understand that because he spent, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it was in school talking about stuff that makes no sense.
You spent more of your labor than you were compensated for. But
you said so. But let me go. I'll go one step further, even further than this. All right, that's his labor. What about the idea of an individual who does things like manage, right? So maybe there's three different places and each one has a chef making burgers and each one has someone taking orders, and each one has a guy or gal out front flipping a sign. He has to manage all those things, because she has to manage every one of those things, right? So now I got a manager. She's managing three different stores, three different chefs, three different order takers, three different swine swingers, and maybe one company that comes and cleans all three at the end of the day. That's what she has to manage. Well, how much money does she get? That's not making burgers. I guess she doesn't get paid. What value is she bringing? And what happens if she screws up? What if she screws up and one store can't open? And now all of a sudden, that store doesn't make any profit. Does she not get paid for that store now? Because she messed up. She don't get paid for that store for that day. Sorry, you didn't bring any value. You don't get paid. But what's the value of leadership? What's the value of knowing where to put the store? Vision. What's the value of that? What's the value of knowing how to brand the store or which burgers to make? What's the value of that? According to him, nothing. What's the value of IP, intellectual property? Right, the fact that my store is known and that I can use a logo that people will know and come to my store. What's the value of that? I don't know, because this entire concept of the labor theory of value? Am I getting it right? Whatever that Marx thing is completely and utterly useless. And it doesn't work at all. It makes literally no sense. What about if the worker decides to invest their money in something else and they become a capitalist? What if your burger maker is a really good burger maker and he makes great burgers and you pay him and you pay him a decent amount of money? He takes some of his money and he invests in the stock market or another business or whatever. Is he now an evil capitalist? Who's stealing who? You've just given him the opportunity to be a capitalist now, haven't you? None of this is working. The labor theory of value is terrible, and this entire concept is broken. And this thing got 200,000 views on YouTube.
Here's the dirty truth. The story doesn't end with you and Harold. This process plays out across your city or town.
It does?
Your state, the country.
Oh, now he's choking him. Look, they got him choking him now. Because I'm choking you. I'm killing you. You're dying. All the capitalists are choking. All the workers, you're all being choked to death. I've never felt this ever. And the jobs that I felt bad, I quit. But it's fine. But they're all choking people.
The entire world. The rich.
But what happens if there's no Harold? This is the thing that you don't hear them understand. What happens if there's no Harold? Let's take Harold out of the picture. Harold's clearly evil. All the Harolds are evil. Okay. I'm gonna buy your idea, Mr. Wolf, Dr. Wolf. I'm gonna buy it. All the Harolds are evil because they just took people to death, as you showed in your cartoon. They are evil. Let's get rid of them all. They're all gone. Okay, all the Harolds are gone. So where are the jobs? Where's the capital you need to put into stuff? You know where that capital probably come from? Taxes. Probably taxes. Now, if profit is theft, what the hell are taxes? If you're going to call profit theft, taxes got to be worse than that, because at least in the idea of the profit and the exploiter taking the profit, I have a choice. I can work or not work. So, and I even get to choose who robs me, because I can work for you or work for him. I can go work for Kyle. I can work for whoever, and I can choose who robs me if I want to. So I have some choice even in that one. The tax man, I got no choice. He's just coming for me. And if I choose to not pay you as my boss, I don't go to jail. I just don't have any money. I can choose to not pay you if I want to. I don't get to not pay the government. I go to jail. Literally, people with guns come and put me in a cage. It's kind of how that works. If working is exploitation and theft, I don't know what the hell taxation is. I mean, my God, I don't know. There's no word for it then at that point, if that's how you're looking at it. But clearly he is. So then does the government decide who makes burgers and how? And then how does the government decide what burgers to make? And then how do we buy the building? Does the government use money to buy the building, which would make the government a evil capitalist? I guess the governor will be choking us then instead. None of this makes any logical sense. It feels good, though. It does. And if you're a worker, particularly if you're a young worker who's not making much money, man, does this feel good. This is some feel good stuff. And the youngster's like, yeah, taking all my money, stealing, robbing from me. Sounds good. I get it. It feels good. But walk down any road, ask any of the questions that I've asked, walk down the road that I've walked down, and you will immediately see how this falls apart in 5 seconds. In 5 seconds, it falls apart.
Rich get richer and the little guy barely gets by.
That's correct. But the thing about little guys, you're forgetting, the little guy is actually the entrepreneur. The little entrepreneur is the one who collapses.
We call the process a boss is stealing from you exploitation.
That's what it is. The boss is stealing from you. So you voluntarily negotiate your salary with your boss and he's stealing from you. You know what's funny? I know a lot of people who live in New York City, because I live in New York City, obviously, and many of them make a lot of money. A lot of money. I'm talking six figures, some seven figures. They make a lot of money. That's good money. Some make seven figures. That's a lot of money, right? You're making seven figures, but you're being exploited. Please exploit me. Please do that. If you want to give me seven figures a year and go, but I'm making eight. Okay, you make eight, just keep giving me seven. It's fine. But I will deal with your exploitation. I will so deal with it. This concept is just an insanely silly concept.
Don't mean that in an emotional sense about how we feel.
No, you don't mean it in an actual sense. You've just made it up. There's no sense you mean this in, because there's no sense in what you just said.
Feel about it, but something that's actually a documented economic.
Because you're an economist and you wrote it. So yeah, I could write stuff too. I'm going to write Larry Sharpe is the greatest person in the world. See, it's documented. Some guy wrote Larry Sharpe's the greatest guy in the world. Clearly I am, because it's documented. Doesn't mean anything.
Phenomenon. The gap between how much the worker produces and how much they get paid. Exploitation, yes, is a universal feature of capitalist.
But nothing else? So there was no exploitation when you look back at, say, feudalism. There was none there. That's nothing. No exploitation there. Slavery. Nothing. Monarchy systems where serfdom. Nothing. That's fine. This is the bad one. This is the bad one, right? Or socialism. That's a good one. That works because Venezuela. No exploitation there. Soviet Union. None. China. No exploitation there. What are you talking about? It's only capitalism that does it.
Economies, and it never ends. The system requires more and more exploitation, paying workers less, making them work more, or making them more productive without increasing their wages.
Now, why is that? Everything he just said, what's the proof of that? What's the proof that you have to pay them less? I don't see proof of that. I don't see where he decides that's true. There are so many industries where that's true, and some industries where that's not true. That is in no way, shape, or form universal. That is dependent upon your industry and usually depends on how fast you can automate. But even when you automate, it doesn't mean by default that each person gets a lower salary. You may have less workers, but sometimes those workers get paid more. Or sometimes we get other workers to support the new technology and they may get paid more. So this concept is something he just made up, and they make a lot of this stuff up. It's like, you have to, because otherwise how can you keep making money? You could just sell more stuff. You could raise your prices. You could increase. I mean, you see people who make one thing, then they just brand 85 other things. How many people, I mean, do you know what most clothing companies actually are? Most clothing companies are just like three people in an office in Manhattan or Brooklyn. They're branders. Everything is made someplace else. Their employees don't get paid any less or more. They just figure out where they can make their stuff and it gets sent someplace. So they're not getting paid less. In fact, they're getting paid more because they used to make whatever, shirts, and then they make shirts and socks, and now they make hats. So they make more stuff. People get paid more. I don't know how that works. He's making this up.
When you see in the newspaper that a corporation's recording record profits, that is what they are doing. Your hard work is producing more value, but...
Did you hear that? Your hard work is producing... That's what they're doing. So every time you see a company making profits, you should feel terrible. This company's making profit. What? More exploited workers. That's what you should think. Instead of going, I don't know, maybe they sold more stuff. Maybe they're hiring more people. Maybe. I don't know. There's many reasons why a company could be profitable. It could be they fired a million people. Well, not a million, but they fired 1,000 people. Possible. Possible they're selling more stuff or changing what they sold or buying and selling another company or changing their stock price. Got a big deal. Who knows? The idea that you could even say with a straight face, whenever you see that, it's your worker. See, your labor, because you're magical. You're not magical, neither am I. We're just human beings who do the best that we can do. And we try to make as much money as we can. I get it. And some people don't even care about making money. Depends upon the person. So all of this is garbage.
You're not getting enough compensation in
That's
return.
What it is.
There
I'm
are
being
tens
cheated.
Of thousands of Harolds out there.
All these evil Harolds, you just freaking kill them all.
But billions of people just like you. You.
How do you know I'm not Harold? Whoa. Maybe I'm Harold. How do you know people watching aren't? Oh, see, now you just dissed all of us. We could be Harold. I guess not. None of us are Harold. We're all the burger guy. Fine.
You and Harold are two different types of people.
Oh,
you
whoa.
You belong to two different classes. There's a capitalist who owns the means to produce goods and services, and there's the workers who only have their own labor to survive on.
So here's the issue that you have to understand, guys. There's two classes of people. And the best part about people on the left like this is they're all about equality. Oh, wait, no, they're not. Well, that doesn't work. I thought it was all about race. Ooh, no, it's not, is it? It's about whether you're a Harold or not. That's what it is. You have money, you're a different class than someone who doesn't have money. That's who you are. Well, I have an idea. What if you're a construction worker and you make good money? You make good money. You're out there building houses, fixing roads, whatever's the thing you do. You don't have all this money to start dealing stuff out, but you make good money. You're a second-class citizen now. All you have is your labor. Okay, well, you decide I don't want to do the labor stuff anymore. I'm getting old. Don't want to do it anymore. So instead, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to be a teacher. I'm going to teach the youngsters how to do this. You still a laborer or not? You a capitalist yet? I'm going to invest in someone else's business. That's what I'm going to invest in someone else's business. I don't want to do that. I'm going to invest in the business. I'm going to get some money. Am I now a capitalist now? Did I change classes? So the second that I invested, did I change classes? What if I just retire? I got enough money. I retire. I have a couple, like a 401k, and the money's coming in. I decide I'm going to move to Florida. Please don't move to Florida if you live in New York. But I moved to Florida, and I'm retired. Am I now a capitalist now, or am I still the same class? This makes no sense to divvy up people like this. None at all. Lots of people do both and either. And he acts as though if you are a laborer, you are by default unhappy or bad or sad. First off, lots of people like to be laborers. Tons. They make a nice, good living. They're happy to do it. Why are you dissing them? Do what makes you happy. And not just laborer. How about the person who's the academic? A school teacher. They're not physically moving stuff. They're getting paid salary. Are they now second-class citizens in your eyes too? A teacher now is? I guess so. That's what he's saying. But I thought he's for the little guy. But he just took a dump on all little guys in his who he classifies as a little guy.
The capitalists appropriate the value that the workers' labor See creates that? And keep it for themselves.
Because they're
and
evil.
You are
We're
not
all poor
immune
now.
From it. At any yeah, job nothing. You work at. The condition of your employment is that you produce more by your labor than you get paid.
See that? So no matter what you do, you are just screwed. These capitalists.
So in the capitalist system, no
Sit
one
in that
is paid
corner.
What they're worth.
No one
All
is.
All profit is value extraction.
All profit is value extraction. The superlatives are amazing. But people buy this.
And that means that all profit is theft.
All profits theft is right written. I didn't make this up. It's right there. And it's documented now because he wrote it. So therefore it's true. Once it's documented, it's true. So all profit is theft. So how dare you guys hire somebody? You people who give people jobs, thieves. Every one of you have hired somebody and given somebody a job so that they could work. You're a thief. Look how bad you are hiring people. What were you thinking? God, you people are terrible. You made me sick. Oh, you people hiring people and robbing them all so they can have jobs and have lives and raise families and stuff.
From you.
Terrible.
This is Richard Wolff, professor of...
There we go. That's who he is. I don't know how... Yeah. So I thought you guys might enjoy that and understand that lots of people are thinking this. So we have to worry about this, right? And I hope my arguments made sense to you and you're able to use them when you hear this. You know, what about the idea of risk or time or all of those things? How do you value any of them? If this theory is real, I would love to see somebody write it out and come up with an actual, I don't know, an algorithm to express what the value is and what somebody should make. And the other issue I'll bring up is, if you believe that that's true, okay, then what happens when you fail? Right? What happens when you don't bring value? Do you not get paid? What happens when you don't know how to do the job? You require training. Do you not get paid? Do you have to come to the job knowing how to make the awesome burgers already? Otherwise, you don't get paid. A lot of stuff here that just drives me crazy. Michael says, generating a profit is work as well. How do you distinguish between that kind of labor and manual labor? Everything, right? And how do you price it, Michael? Right? If I'm going to, you want me to, I don't know, build a wall on your property. You hire me to build a wall. Okay. How do I price that? I gotta bring two guys to build a wall. So we bring two guys to build the wall, and then what? Nothing. Do I just price it for them, for me? How do I price it? And what if you don't want to pay it? So pricing matters too. Absolutely, pricing matters too. I'm going to bring somebody on to have a quick chat. David, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Good, I'm glad. I'm glad you came on. What's going on? Talk to me, brother. Can you see me?
Yeah, no, it looks kind of weird.
That's okay. What do you want to come on and talk about? Tell me something, my friend.
I don't think it's going to work.
Okay, no worries. I'm glad. I'm happy to bring somebody on and talk. It's all good. David, I know you very often are watching the show. Happy you came on to say hi. So it looks like Brian says, like, shared, and here's your comment. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that tremendously. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Garrett says, I heard this not on my local public radio. He's all over, Garrett. He is all over. Wolf is everywhere. He's online. He's on TV. He is on everywhere, 100%. 100%. Dave, is that you? Do you want back on? Do you want to see you again? I'm bringing you back on. Are you okay?
It's sort of like there's a lag.
That's okay. Tell me what you wanted to say.
It's just so weird. But yeah, I mean, I posted on Facebook about the labor theory of value, about how there's a whole lot of things that they don't tell people about the cost of running a business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. And this is the point you bring up. The person who pays for that. We don't, the person who's paying for it, we don't know what he's paying. We don't know what she's paying. We don't know what happens when taxes come due or there's a problem with the building code, all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like, what is that thing I posted to George Will said, the closest to the labor theory of value are like entertainers or athletes.
Ah.
Because we buy the tickets to see them. But even then, all the other people have to get paid too.
100%. That's a valid point. I like what you're saying. And if you notice that a lot of people as entertainers now, they understand that. And many of them are creating actually contracts where they get a percentage of the profit, right? So you're right. Entertainers will often say, yes, you know, we're going to pay off all these people. And then whatever profit's left over, I want a percentage. I think you're right. That happens often.
Yeah.
And that breaks the whole theory.
Look, Larry, I'm going to have to let you go because it's weird. It's like you're in slow motion.
I am very happy that you came on. It's okay. I'm happy you came on. Okay, keep watching. So glad that he came on. Guys, I'm happy that he came on. I'm glad he's still watching. Avi says, this is nonsense. In countries like Cuba, the average laborer doesn't own their labor. They don't have the ability to bargain or even collectively bargain. The government owns the labor of their inhabitants and skims up the top from everyone. No different than typical mafia racket. Avi, this is a big point in this, right? In the In a capitalist world, is it possible for people to be exploited? Of course it is. It is possible for people to be exploited in any type of system you use, without question. What I'm bringing up here is, in at least in the capitalist system, you are able to at least negotiate. As Dave and I were just talking about, right? If you're an entertainer, you can at least negotiate. You have a chance to negotiate. In the socialist countries, do you? Unless you're, I guess, I don't know, a party leader or something, you don't. At least we have the ability to bargain and as your point, even collectively bargain. The chance is there. Absolutely. So Tom says the government's thing for me. Yeah. Absolutely. Ryan's like, taxation's theft above all else. Yes. I have the choice to participate in capitalism. My point exactly. Thank you. I have no choice in a tax deal. Yeah. And if I don't want to participate in capitalism, I don't go to jail for that. Right? I don't go to jail for that. I don't pay taxes. Yeah. I do. 100%. Yes. Be Vegan Now says, honestly earned profit is not theft as long as there's not like literally stealing from somebody. I think many people don't understand what capitalism is and act like it's worse than it is. I agree with you. I mean, you don't want to, you know, fraud is wrong. Lying is wrong. Any of those things, that would be unearned, in my view, unearned profit, right? If I said, yeah, this cup is magic, drink from it and you'll, I don't know, grow taller, and you don't, and you buy it. Yeah, that's not honest. That's fraudulent. That's not earned profit. I agree. But if I'm lying, that is theft. Agreed. As long as it's honest, we're good. Michael says, ugh, I've tried watching him. I know, ritual of stuff. So I only give you 5 minutes of him. There's hours of him, like 2 hours, hour and a half. There's hours of him. I only gave you 5 minutes, Michael. I didn't want you to, you know, hurl. So anyway, Avi says, so much in the places which cascade profit in the housing market, like New York, LA, San Fran, DC, Seattle, have the highest cost of living and the highest spread between rich and poor. Valid points, Avi. Valid points. Absolutely. So yeah. This is what David was saying. Thank you for coming up, David, talking about that. I appreciate that. Benjamin says, sorry, Larry, I haven't been around. The Wi-Fi went down. The reason New York State AG thought it was good to mess with ISPs, good intention, bad result. Thank you, Benjamin. I appreciate you being back. I do appreciate that completely. Andre says, some big businesses are unethical and abuse their ties to big government for their gain. Yes. And this is the piece, you know, if he was to say specifically large oligarchies, large monopolies, cartel systems do these things, he's got a better argument, right? If he makes sense, I'm not saying he's right even with that to a point, right? But at least as an argument you could make, right? Look at what the big evil monopolies do when they tie themselves to government. All right, fine, right? Crony capitalism is bad. I think everybody would agree that crony capitalism or corporatism is bad. Agreed. But that's not what he's saying. He's talking about a guy who is hiring a guy who flips burgers. That's like a restaurant owner, Andre. That's a small business owner. That's not a big business owner. He sees no difference in the small business owner and the guy and Jeff Bezos. In his view, they're the same. He makes it by class. If you work for labor, you're the second class citizen. I mean, you work for a wage, you're the second class citizen in his eyes. And if you don't, you're an evil capitalist. So there's only two levels of bad people. You're a second class citizen, wage laborer, terrible person that you are, or you're a capitalist, evil person that you are. That's where his world goes. And I you read it. You saw it. I'm sorry. And read it. I didn't make that up. He did. So yes. Nice office, capitalist. It's true, but it's all stolen. So there we go. Yeah, I stole it all. It's all stolen. Profit and stuff. I'm a thief. That's how it works. Yes. So Michael says, my ex-business partner, Rip, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, knew Dave Thomas. He dropped out of high school and got some space to launch Wendy's, working for Arthur Treacher. Oh, is that right? I think Dave Thomas knew how to make a burger. Yeah. Yes. And thank you, Michael. Yeah. He did know how to make a burger, clearly. And most people, small business owners who start a business, often, not always, but almost all the time, they know how to do the thing, right? If you start a restaurant, you often know how to, you know, get in the back and cook. If you start a construction company, you know your way around a hammer and a drill, right? I mean, you know how to do these things. Most people do. There's some exceptions, obviously, but the vast majority, if you start an architect firm, you're an architect, right? Most people who start businesses know how to run the business. So the idea that you don't know how to make a burger, the whole concept is dumb. He doesn't get it. So yes. His burger example assumed that the meat and supplies to the laborer just came into existence magically. Yes. Or should this guy's an adult and not a child in a fat old man costume? No. I'm not sure, Abby. That would make sense. If he was, then this would all make sense. So I hope he is, because then, okay, makes total sense at that point. Yes. Kirk says, all those people flipping burgers need to afford the necessities of life in order to show up to work in the first place. Yes, I'm not sure where you're going with that one, Kirk. I'm not sure where you're going with that, but yes, absolutely. And I would hope that, you know, in the best case scenario, I would hope they would have families that would support them until they get a job, right? Hopefully, if you're young and growing up, you have a family that supports you until you're able to get on your own and make money, I hope. And I hope that when you are an adult on your own, that you're able to have relationships that will help you when you're in trouble, whether those are family or friends or spouse or children or whatever, parents, whatever. I hope that we all can do that. I really hope so. So yes. Marsha says, this guy gets it. I hope you mean me and not him. I hope you do. I hope you do. Andrea says, guess they don't want to account for overhead like salaries, rent, electric taxes. That's, again, another piece. And he had time. He could have said whatever he wanted. He made the most simplistic piece that affects absolutely nothing at all. Yes. Kirk says, the full value of your labor is calculated by your own ability to calculate your needs to survive. Huh. The full value of your labor is calculated by your own ability to calculate your needs to survive. I'm going to go to a different idea, Kirk. You tell me if I'm wrong on this. The idea being all value is based upon one thing, perceived scarcity. Not actual scarcity, perceived scarcity. If I believe that anybody can flip a burger. Now, that's obviously not true because some people like certain burgers certain ways. So clearly that's not true. But if I believe that, that's why I say perceived. If I believe anybody can flip a burger, who cares? I'm not going to be willing to pay much for that skill at all. It doesn't matter what you need. I'm not going to care. Anyone can get a burger from everywhere. Who cares? But if I care about the taste and the style and the presentation of my burger, if that's the kind of place I have where I actually care about that, if I'm that kind of owner, then not everybody can flip my burger. Only certain people, not if the burger the way I want it, so that it looks the right way, tastes the right way that I want. If that's the case, that's more scarce. I'll pay more for that. I'll pay more for that. So I think the real value is based upon my perception of scarcity. If, say the opposite is true. Say I believe anybody can flip a burger, but everybody's working now. The economy's booming and I can't get people who are willing to flip a burger. I'm going to pay more because I believe that is scarce. The more scarce I believe a thing is, perceived scarcity, the more I will pay for it, assuming, of course, that I value it. So in this case, say a car. I want to buy a car. If I look at a car as only one thing, get A to B, get me to A to B, that's all I care about, nothing else, then I'm not going to pay much for a car because there's tons of cars that'll get me from A to B. So my perception, not scarce at all, I'm not going to pay much. I'll buy a used car, old car. I don't care. It's A to B. I don't care. But if I think, no, my car is my status symbol. That's what I think. It's my status symbol. And I need to have this car so guys like Kirk and Ryan go, whoa, look at Larry, super cool guy. If I believe that, that limits the amount of cars that I can buy because only certain cars are going to act as the status symbol that I want. Therefore, the scarcity higher, I'll pay more for it. And I think that's what almost everybody looks at, all value, all pricing. It is perceived scarcity. So Kirk, you need to get me to think, if I'm your employer, obviously, that what you're doing is scarce in some way. If I believe it's scarce, like you're the only guy who can, or very few people can do what you do, or how you do it, or when you do it, or whatever, then I'll pay you more. Otherwise, I'm like, eh, I'll find some more. I think that's the critical piece. So, consensual trade is theft. This guy trolling me? I think Marshall's trolling me. I still love you, Marshall. It's fine. All good. Doesn't get into the problem of time preference and risk. Yes. Harold doesn't get paid unless burgers sell. Thank you, my friend. It's exactly correct. Exactly correct. Yes. If an employee agrees on a certain wage, that's voluntary, not theft. And I think that's the second point, right, that you've brought up. And it's the point that Avi brought up, which is in today's world, you can do collective bargaining too. And I think you're seeing it right now. I think you're seeing people right now say, I don't want to go back to work. And many of the reasons why they don't want to go back to work is not because of the money, believe it or not. I mean, some people it is. But a lot of it is they don't want to go back to an office. If you've been watching people and watching the polling and watching people talking about, there are a lot of people like, I'll go back to work, but I'm not going back into an office. I'm working from home. So in that case, it isn't even about only the money. The value they see is, I want to be home with my family and friends. I don't want to commute for an hour or 2 hours. So I'd rather not work and take the government money or get a job locally. Or get a different job because I don't want to go back to the office. And a lot of people who are thinking the old way, a lot of owners and managers are realizing, I'm not going to get my people back. That's happening right now. And that is voluntary. Every individual who gets a job has to make a decision in their own world. Is the job and all that it encompasses, is it worth the compensation? And the sad part is many people find themselves in tough situations where they got to pay bills and they need jobs. That's a hard spot to be in. We as humans need to be better at that. I do my best to teach people to not be in that position, but some people are. And if you're in that position, you kind of take what you can. But even when you do take what you can to pay your bills, and I've been there, I get that. I'm not mad at you for that. Please pay your bills. You still have the option to look someplace else. So you do the job you're not happy with to pay your bills. While you're thinking, all right, what's next? How do I get to that next place where I'm going to be happy? And again, in a capitalist society, you do have that option. Some people don't choose it, but you have it. Yes. Kyle says, Larry talking logically illogical. But if you notice what I was bringing up, Kyle, I wasn't just saying that they were wrong. I was asking questions, which is a critical distinction. I was saying, what about this? What about this? What about that? And that's a critical piece for you to consider. Don't forget the what about this, what about this, what happens if this happens? What about this happening? And it always go back to, so then if they don't bring value, they don't get paid, that is going to change everything and how people think. Absolutely. Speaking of logical and illogical, you know what? Do me a favor. Be logical for me. Like, comment, share. Get this everywhere. Please let people know I'm talking about this. It does matter. It's how I'm going to grow. And you can do me a favor, support the show. Head over, click that link in the description for the human respect test. Do humans respect each other? I think they do. Not always. It is talking about something about the way to mutual respect. Take the human respect test. Take that and then share it. It makes my sponsors, the Advocates for Self-Government, theadvocates.org, it makes them very happy if you do that. So please do that so that they can keep sponsoring the show. If you say, Larry, I'm going to do more, you can. You can help sponsor the show yourself. Head over to patreon.com/sharpway. The link is also in the description. Give me 10 bucks a month if you got it. If you got big bucks, if you're making those big dollars, you're one of those capitalist exploiters stealing money from your employees, you're one of those people, give some of that money my way. I'll take your stolen goods. I'll take your stolen money. Throw it my way. 25 bucks a month if you can swing it. If not, 10 bucks a month is fine to keep this going so that we can keep rocking and rolling. As always, like, comment, share. You want to pop on for a few minutes like David did? That's okay. Message the Sharpway Facebook page or message the Sharpway Twitter page, and I'll bring you on for a few minutes. We'll talk about it. Happy to have you on, those of you who are watching. But please go to the Sharpway properties. I'm scared of getting canceled, so I want to make sure that people are following me on Sharpway, not just Larry Sharp, like Larry Sharp Twitter, Sharpway Twitter, and also the Sharpway YouTube. Let me keep grabbing some of these comments. The burger cook always gets paid. The point of wage labor is consistency of income, low risk. Yes, 100%. That's why some people don't like that. Some people want a more risky lifestyle. I'm one of them. I don't do wage labor hardly ever. So because I'm okay with a riskier lifestyle. Some people are. If you are, good for you. Some people are not, in which case you know what you're going to be getting. To your point, lower risk, the wage laborer gets paid every week or every month or every 2 weeks, whatever it is. Absolutely. Yes. So let me keep grab here. Tim says, I self-identify as an economist. Can I create a theory that's wrong too? Yes, Tim, you may. And for those you don't know, Tim is doing some cool stuff. He's helping us out here on A Free Solution, which is the awesome Western New York radio show on WYSL out of Rochester, noon every day. So please check out A Free Solution. It's on YouTube and it is on Facebook. So please check that out. A Free Solution. Yes, it is a solution that's free and it's not socialism because Tim's smart. He knows that stuff. Absolutely. Yes. Kyle says, I like his answer. I like getting all the money. I know. He just wants us to get money no matter what. You work hard. I don't care. I get all the money. You didn't work hard. I don't care. I get all the money. Just take all the money because the capitalist is by default evil. Yes, absolutely. Tim says, as a contractor, I always had employees or at least one employee that made as much or more than me. Every year I had employees that went, yes. And thank you, Tim. You get it completely. When you're a small business owner, your people have to get paid. If that means you don't get paid, you don't get paid. That's how that works. And the sad part is guys like Wolf, he doesn't know that. He has no idea how that works. He's like, yeah, all I've worked for is big, universities and such. That's all you know. Well, why don't you walk out to the door and ask how small business owners actually get stuff done? It's not what you're talking about. And here's the worst part. The wage worker shrinking. Less and less of them in America. Less and less. More people doing contract work, bidding work, all types of different stuff. It's changing. It really is. Gig economy. It's all changing. Absolutely. Blaze119 says, you would think a guy that preaches the wonders of communism would get his teeth fixed, but he never worked a day with his hands in his life. You're probably right. He doesn't know how to be a laborer. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. I mean, not that I'm a huge laborer myself, but I used to drive a truck. I was a Marine. I know what it is to dig a fighting hole. I know what it is to drive a truck for years. I know how that is. I know what I've been there. I've loaded trucks and unloaded trucks. I know how to do that. I've played that. I don't know anymore, but I used to. I know what it's like. I know all that stuff. I'm totally with you. Yes. Guess with this concept, politicians shouldn't be paid. They don't produce anything. You know, Andrea, you've just given me a reason to like his theory. Maybe I've changed my mind after all, Andrea. Maybe he's right. If we can get politicians to not get paid. Look, he gets 1 point for that one. You've given him a point. He gets 1 point for that. There we go. Yes, absolutely. Kyle says, not only do they not produce anything, but most of the time they do more harm than good, Andrea. Yes. So then we should be making them pay. That's not bad. I like that. We should make them pay. Tim says the government's already choking us economically and they're willing to choke you physically too. Both. Absolutely. I love that. David said Larry Sharp's the greatest guy in the world. It's now documented, David. So it's true. Thank you. It is now documented. So now it is true. I appreciate that tremendously. Brian says the value of goods is ultimately set by how much the consumer is willing to pay. That was my point earlier, Brian. Yes, you read my mind. I read yours. One or the other. We were on the same page there. That's really the biggest piece, right? What am I prepared to pay for it? And generally speaking, that's based upon what I believe is scarce, right? Do I think it's scarce or do I not think it's scarce? And again, it is all about what my perception, not reality. It may not be scarce, but if I think it is, I'll pay more. Or it may be scarce, but I don't think it is. So I'm not going to pay much. I mean, that's really the issue. Yes. So... all right, let me see if I can keep going here. Ryan, you're a 15-year roofer. Dude, that's a tough job. That's a tough job, Ryan. I didn't know that. It's a tough job. That's a tough job there. Good for you, man. I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you like it. It's tough work. It's tough work. I remember delivering. Again, truck driver. I used to deliver all kinds of stuff. So I remember delivering to people who are, sitting up there with the knee pad thing. I remember like, wow, tough job. I appreciate that. Paula says, socialists never understand scarcity to my experience. You're right. That's why there's breadlines. They don't get that. That's exactly right. Yes. Sarah says, then we, the taxpayers, pay to take care of the government's labor. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. 100%. Absolutely. Daniel says, the people that are staying home and not going back to work are selling their souls to corrupt government. Ooh, it's a Faustian bargain. I guess it depends upon how long this lasts and what the outcome is. In theory, it's theory, Daniel, so I don't really know what's really going to happen. If we look at history, it's going to be a disaster. But in theory, and this is why I spoke about it this way earlier, in theory, this could be an opportunity for laborers to say, I want change in my workplace. So I'm not going back until there are changes. And I think at the upper levels, meaning the higher salaries of our workforce, you are seeing that, to my point earlier. I'm not going back. I got to work from home 3 or 4 days a week, or I'm not coming back. I think that type of demand is happening now. You're seeing that. People saying, why am I in the office every day? I just want to come in on Mondays and Fridays, or something like that, right? They're starting to do that kind of thing. And that means people who are more towards the minimum wage or the lower wage earners, they may have an opportunity to say, I'm not coming back unless you change how I work. And if the market does that, I don't mind. That's what the market's supposed to do. My problem is, again, we had government step in and prop them up. The question is, how long will they be propped up for? So I'm trying to find, I guess, a silver lining to this, Daniel. Your point's a valid one. I'm hoping that you're wrong, is what I'm saying. I'm hoping that you are wrong and they just make a better workplace for themselves in a way as they should, without having to government to force the rules, but instead the workers and the employers coming to an agreement going, you know what, fine, you know, whatever, work X amount of days, whatever is the rules that they want. And many of them, it isn't necessarily the cash. Cash is important, it is, but there are also very often other aspects they care about. So yes, Ryan says it, I'm gonna say it. If you can't find a job, it's you. Jobs are out there, but it's demanding. If it was a good time, they'd do it for free and call it fun. Stop setting barriers for yourself. It's a valid point too, right? And I think people are concerned now, which I guess is my point with Daniel, are people now deciding, I think you do see this too, people are saying, if there are so many jobs out there, I'm going to be picky now. Which, you know, I mean, if you're looking for a job, it's probably smart, Ryan. I mean, right? If you're picky, right? If you're picky and you're like, you know what? I didn't like the thing that I was doing. I wish I was doing something else. Now's your time. I mean, now is your time to be picky, to go, you know what? I don't want to do this. I want to do that. And if they're doing that, that's smart. If you're just going, I'm going to stay home, then Daniel's right. And it is a Faustian bargain. They're really screwing themselves. If you're taking this time off to just hang around and watch TV, watch YouTube, play video games, you are screwing yourself over. But if you're taking this time off to look for a new career because you're unhappy with your current one, bravo to you, right? Why aren't you spending these last 6 months or year learning something new, figuring something out, researching a new career? And now, because people don't want to work, now looking for that job and that new career that, you know what, 2 years ago, nobody would have hired you, but now they might. So if more people are doing that, then Daniel would be wrong. And I hope Daniel is wrong, but Daniel might be right. And people might be doing what you're doing, just going, I don't got to work, so I'll stay home and watch Netflix and play video games. I don't know. I think we will know in the next year or two which one is true. I hope Daniel's wrong, but he might be right. Tom says, a capitalist society is usually a free society. It has to be, right? I mean, that's the point. It has to be. There has to be at least some way of free flowing, some way of movement. Otherwise, how do you do it, right? So I think it has to be. It may not be the freest, but it has to be some semi-free at least. And the exception is if the environment is, if there is so much opportunity, then it can actually be a less free society. I know that sounds crazy, but let me give you my example before you tell me I'm crazy, Tom. If you have a society where there is so much opportunity to make tons of money to explode, people put up with barriers because the opportunity is so high. An example I'll give, of course, is what New York City used to be. New York City now doesn't have any opportunity. Well, compared to what it used to have. It used to be the place for opportunity. Remember the old saying, if you can make it there, you can make it everywhere, anywhere. That was the issue, right? And when New York City was that, people would put up with a communist city because the opportunity was so huge. Now, they're leaving it in droves. So yes, with that minor caveat that if there just happens to be a place, a specific area where opportunity is massive, they will put up with a less free society because of the opportunities. So yes. James says, would you be willing to have him on the show and have a dialogue? Of course. Oh my God, yes. But why would he come on? He rarely comes onto a place where he can be challenged effectively. He usually goes on friendly ones. And he went on one debate where the guy just was a typical libertarian, just got mad and yelled at him. And when you get mad and yell at people, you lose the argument. And you don't see me do that. So I'll reach out to him. You know what, James? I'll reach out to him. If anyone happens to have a connection to him, please reach out for me. If you happen to have a connection to him, please reach out and say, hey, Larry Sharp, would love to have you want to talk about your stuff, whatever you want to talk about, your theft. Fine. I will reach out to him, though. Yes. So Ryan says we need a burger flipping license. Stop. They're going to do it. Don't give them ideas, Ryan. Oh, my God. We're gonna have one. And when we do, I'm going to blame you, Ryan. Ryan did it. You need a burger flipping license. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And when they have, I'm blaming you, Ryan, when we get it, because that's like the next thing. There's no doubt. That's the next thing. So as Ray says, all the knowledge and time in classes makes it feel like I should get paid at more than $50 an hour. I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think that many of us should act that way. She says, the sad thing is that some medical office jobs offer $12 an hour, more or less. Plus, then when you have experience most of the time, some retail workers make $50 an hour. And this is why you probably noticed this. There are a lot of people now doing medical billing and stuff like that from their homes. And they can actually get multiple clients. So they're actually double dipping. So there'll be a medical billing for two or three different clients, and they won't go for per hour. They'll go for a weekly or monthly fee. So I'll do all your medical billing and it costs whatever, $2,000 a month or whatever is the amount that it is for the society. For the office you're working for. And they'll have three or four clients. And as long as the medical billing's done, they don't care. Or you'll be the collections agency and you'll get a cut of what you collect. Another thing you'll get, a cut of what you collect. So because of that, I think many people are moving off of that. And my other hope is now, and I don't know if this is going to work, Desiree, but I hope it does, to where now people start saying, I risked my life for this in certain cases. I don't want to come back to work. You got to pay me $16 an hour, $18 an hour, whatever. And the reality of it is if the doctors and the office managers see these medical office jobs as or workers as scarce, they'll pay. Years ago, I remember hearing a story about a consultant who went to his coach and said, I'm not getting the fees that I want. How do I do it? And the coach said, ask for them. I know that sounds dumb. I know that sounds trite. But to Avi's point, if more people get together and say, we're just not showing up until you give us $15-16 an hour, I think it can work. I think it can. And I would like more of us to do more of that. But there's something else we can do. Desiree, you just brought it up now. You're telling me this. I didn't know this. What you just told me, I didn't know. Now that I know it, now I can talk about it. Now others can talk about it. So you now gained allies. So it doesn't have just to have to be you and people in your world. Now it's allies who go, it's medical office. It's kind of important. You should pay more. And then doctors will decide, you know what? They're right. I should. Or they won't. And then you can not work or whatever the case may be. But having allies is going to help too. So I'm glad you brought this up. I'm happy to put it out there. It's important. Mm-mm-mm. Let me keep going down here. David says, the thing is capitalism creates innovation and opportunity to get out of poverty. Not everyone can be the chief. Some of us have to be the Indians. But not just have to be, David. A lot of people want to be the Indians. There's nothing wrong with that. And it changes in our life. In other words, when you're younger, you might be thinking, I'm going to rule the world. I got to be the chief. And you get older and go, you know what? I just want to go to work. Just, can you be the boss? I'm just going to work. Or the reverse. When you're young, you're like, look, I just want to do what I'm told. You get older, I want to run things. It's fine. It's wherever you are in your life. And some people don't ever want to be in charge. They're happy being a worker. Let me make my money and go home and live with my life. You deal with the headaches. And other people say, I want it all. Throw it all on me. And there really is no wrong answer there unless, you know, you're not getting what you want. As long as where you are in your life and you're getting what you want, that's what I think is important. I don't think any of us have to be Indians or chiefs. I think many of us should because we want to be. That's the most important piece. And your point's a valid one. In capitalism, you can. There is no limit to the number of people who can start their own business. So even if you personally can't move up in your own company, in a company you're working for now to become a chief, you have the option of saying, I'm out, start my own thing. I'm the chief now. Okay. Well, you know what? I was a chief. I don't like being chief. I want to be an Indian. All good. I completely agree. All right. Dave says they should use some of that infrastructure cash going to corporations for small business owners that went under and folks can get their old jobs back they liked. There's other piece, Dave. There are people who like their job. And some of them, they going back, there's no company to go back to. So some of them are also waiting, going, wait, I liked what I did. I want to keep doing that. So they're kind of waiting until another company comes in, you know, to do that. Paula says, I'm having a really hard time finding gig workers, drivers, photographers, dog workers, and housekeepers. Their schedules are packed. Yes. I only have the help that I do out of loyalty. They don't need my business. Wow. Well, Paula, first off, well done for you that you have those kind of relationships and you can use those relationships. Good on you. I love that. But I think it's a valid point, right? The California and New York have been going out of their way to destroy the gig economy. It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. Gig economy is how a lot of people gain new skills, do different stuff, test out things that they like or don't like, right? For me to be a driver before Uber, I would have had to buy a medallion at millions of dollars or I literally started a trucking business so that I could be a truck driver. But now I could easily do a gig job and drive and do Uber and see if I like it. If I like it, all right, this is my thing. I'll do it professionally. I don't like it. Glad I tried that. I'm out. So I think the gig workers allows many people to try new things. Photography too, right? How do you become a skilled photographer without getting clients that won't pay you as much because they know you're not a skilled photographer, right? You need the experience to become a skilled photographer. And many times that's with another skilled photographer who will pay you less through a gig, right? A gig that you'll get and you'll get paid less because you're not a good photographer yet because you haven't done it. You got to do it till you become good at it. So I'm with you. I'm actually glad that you're having that problem. Not for you, but I'm glad that people are starting to get back out in the gig economy. I was afraid that that would begin to go away because of what happened, was happening in New York and in California. So that's a good thing. I like that. Senator says, problem, reaction, solution. Government creates the problem, waits for people to react, offers a solution, guiding the masses where they want to before step one. Closing New York down, people look to government for basic life needs. Now most have become comfortable with handouts. That sucks. But you're right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Paula says the labor shortage should be giving people a chance to break into new fields. 100% yes. Media sales in my city was impossible to break into, but now I hear radio stations asking for media sales reps with no experience. I was shocked and thought it was a joke, but it's a legit ad for sales reps. 100%. Yes, this is your chance. Now, some people hate sales, but maybe you want to try it. You can make some cash. I used to do ad sales for radio, by the way. WOR radio here in New York City. I used to do ad sales. I know I've done like everything. Yes, but I actually used to do ad sales, Paula. That's what I did back in the day. One of the guys I used to sell ads for, by the way, was Kramer. He was on our station. And Lionel. I know back in the day. But anyway, David says, if we had real capitalism, not crony capitalism, it would be better. Yes. Absolutely. Yes, I completely agree. That's absolutely the correct thing. Guys, I want to make sure that you understand something. Please like, comment, and share. Even during the show, if you like what's a different piece, share it, comment again, whatever you can. Get those algorithms going. It all matters. Absolutely. And of course, I ask you all the time, take the human respect test. Theadvocates.org, they're my sponsor. They're the ones that, you know, the money comes in. I give it to my people to keep doing what you see us doing, putting up all these things. Look, if you click right now on our Linktree link that's in the description, you'll see we have podcasts if you want to. We have a small shortwave clips. You can have clips you can send to your friends. We have all that stuff there. You can listen to this in your ear in a podcast if you want to. All that kind of stuff you can do just by clicking that Linktree. Who put that together? The team did. How did they do it? Here, through, I don't know, am I robbing them? I don't know I'm robbing somebody, clearly, because I'm paying them. So somebody's getting robbed. Whatever, we're getting robbed. So help me get robbed. Or if you're getting robbed, that's fine. You can get robbed. But then go to patreon.com/sharpway and give me some of those ill-gotten funds. $10 a month is great. Helps me move this whole thing forward. It really does matter. And of course, always, if at all possible, subscribe to all of the Sharpway social media. It really does matter. It really does. So yes. Thomas John says the subjective theory of value is more realistic than the labor theory of value. Without question. The labor theory of value it's a relic from the industrial age. That's really what it is. It's a relic from the industrial age. We are no longer in the industrial age. Those days, our government still is, but we aren't at all. So you're completely correct. It's a relic. The reality of it is subjective value is all that matters. We pay what we believe is the value, or we don't pay for it. That's really how it works. Yes, I think that idea is exactly correct. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for today. I hope it was interesting. Hope it was fun. If you liked it, please share. Support the show to the best of your ability. Have a great weekend. I will see you all on Monday.